wants the last dumpling?
Oh, me.
Penny, a moment. We just had Thai food. And in that culture, the last morsel is called the Grand Jai piece. And it is reserved for the most important and valued member of the group.
Thank you all for this high honor.
I've seen pictures of your mother. Keep eating.
All right, honey, if we're gonna make the movie, we should go. This may be hard for you to hear, but when I say honey, I mean my fiance. Yeah, well, now it means her.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started. Wait, the Earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall.
We built the pyramids, math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a big bang.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the latest episode of PMS, the Perpetual Motion Squad, a Big Bang Theory fan podcast. And we're your hosts, Big Bang Theory super fans, Kat
and Paul.
And we are delighted to be back for season 5, episode 3, The Pulled Groin Extrapolation.
What did we think about this episode?
It had some moments.
It had some creepy moments.
It also had a couple of funny moments.
Yeah, but it certainly had two creepy, well, no, let's go with three creepy moments. And we'll certainly get to all that because there's a part of this that I'm sitting there going, I wonder what was going on before this person, but we will certainly get to that. So
I did
like this episode. It's a good episode. It's, as you said, it's got some funny moments. Few and far between, but they certainly do move the characters along. We start to see now that Bernadette is becoming more involved, and obviously from here on in, she's going to be a lot more involved in the storylines as we go forward.
Yeah.
So the episode opens up where the gang are having Thai food at Leonard and Sheldon's apartment, and when we're getting towards the end of the meal, there is the last dumpling. And Penny goes to reach for it, and Sheldon says, well, wait a minute, before you do that, the last dumpling of a Thai meal is usually called the Grand Jai, which is to be given to the most esteemed person within the group. And of course, what does Sheldon do? He goes to reach for it, and Penny grabs it before he gets a chance to it and puts it into her mouth and says, while she's eating it.
Father, where are you?
Now, for that, anyone who doesn't know what she just said, thank you for this high honor. And I love it how Sheldon looks at it, look at the Penny and goes, I've seen pictures of your mother. Keep eating.
And you just see look on Penny's face.
It's almost like, oh.
Made her cry.
Yeah, I think I might be going down the wrong path.
Now, before we leave this, though,
yes.
So Sheldon does tell Penny that the last piece of food is the Grand Jai or Krang Jai.
Yeah.
Is reserved for the most deserving member of the group.
Mm.
Now, the concept of Grand Jai is difficult to translate into Western world languages. Because that's far from the truth.
Okay.
Jai is the custom of observing, acknowledging, and respecting the feelings of others, something that Sheldon's pretty much incapable of.
Yeah, he couldn't do that. Not a chance in hell.
Sheldon was incorrect on that one.
So as we're going through the meal, and we're obviously at the end of the meal, Howard says to Bernadette, okay, honey, I think we better go now so we can make the movie. So she stands up, Howard stands up, And Raj stands up. And Raj says, and Howard says, I know this is hard for you to believe, but when I say honey, I mean my fiance. Now, this is the first cringeworthy thing, and I've got a question for you. So Raj then leans in, because obviously he hasn't had alcohol, and whispers into Howard's ear, which Howard then says, well, yes, now it means her.
Which means that he used to call
Raj honey.
Honey, yeah. And again, I say the one thing I give Beverly Hofstadter credit for is calling out the ersatz homosexual relationship.
Are there questions about this moment?
There's a lot of questions about that moment.
Because I had severe reservations about the whole thing where, you know, as soon as you hear honey and Raj stands up and then exclaims that, well, you used to, yeah, in all essence, you used to call me honey.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is going on between Howard and Rose?
Well, oh, okay. Now, in the South, it's not uncommon for women to call people honey or sweet or love. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But a New York Jewish boy that now lives in California calling another boy honey, no.
Yeah.
That's
weird. I go to a gas station here in Adelaide, and there is a very happy woman there that calls every single, and you can't take offense to this because she calls everybody this. You go in there and it's either, hey, sweetheart, what do you need? Or, hey, honey, what do you want? It's, she says it to everybody.
Yeah, so some people, it's, you know, part, and it's of usually her vernacular. Women that do that, which is fine.
Yeah, yeah, and it's part of her vernacular.
But it's weird when it's a guy.
And why is Howard calling Raj honey?
Honey, yep.
There is something weird about that.
Yeah, that's just, yeah.
So Penny's actually got to leave for work, so she's going to be following the gang down downstairs. And Sheldon actually says, well, where is, because there's a train store in Monrovia that he wants to go to. Mm-hmm. So he said, well, which one is closest to Monrovia, the movie theater or Penny's Cheesecake Factory?
And they're like, neither one.
Well, no one. And he goes, oh, well, good. Then it doesn't matter who takes me to the train store. Which, another thing I need to ask is, he got to the train store. How did he get home?
I wondered about that, too.
He didn't have his bus pants on.
He took like an Uber. Oh, well, actually, they didn't have Uber back in those days.
Have Ubers.
Would maybe he have taken a Leonard. No, he didn't call Leonard.
No, Leonard was home.
I don't know.
And
took the bus.
Well, no, he didn't have his bus pants on.
Well, the bus pants only show up in one episode.
Yeah, but would he be wearing his bus pants in the possibility he'll be catching the bus home?
No.
So I don't know how he got home.
Like I said, the bus pants only show up in one episode, so they don't count.
Well, I don't know how he got home then, but nobody brought him home. So in, as we go there, you know, he's being driven by, unfortunately, Raj and Howard.
Hold on.
Yes.
Before that, but what does he do before that?
Oh, he gives a question.
A riddle to his friends to determine who gets to drive him.
And of course, Penny goes,
a four-letter word, which means both a printer's type and a compulsion to eat dirt. And as we're leaving the apartment, Penny's like, I really don't want to drive him. And Howard's like, oh, come on, Penny, you can get this. Now, they never answered it. So if you're worried about that open loop, the answer is pica.
Pica. Okay.
Except that Sheldon is wrong again, because it's not just a compulsion to eat dirt. It's a compulsion to eat non-food items.
Okay.
Like, I've seen people eat knives.
Yes.
And
I think we were watching a walking tour where they went to a hospital that had a museum.
Yes, and they had like a collection of things they'd pulled out of people.
Yeah, and there was like safety pins, razor blades. Yep. I mean, there was even an episode, I think it was The Good Doctor or something, one of the shows we were watching.
Yeah, it was one of the medical dramas it might have been Grey's Anatomy, actually.
And they left this whole tray of instruments. And the girl, the female doctor says, you didn't leave her alone in the room with that, did you? Because this woman was absolutely convinced she needed an operation.
Yeah, and she'd eat anything she could get her hands on.
So when they left the room and she was doing that, and because the other guy left and the doctor's like, you didn't leave her alone with the tray, did you? And they race back and she's eaten the entire tray of medical equipment.
Yeah.
Which is forcing them now to go and give her an operation to get it all out of her.
Yeah.
That must be a terrifying mental disease.
It is one of the.
But when you say pica, it's really interesting because here in Australia, and obviously it's not around anymore because I've never heard anyone say it anymore, but if you decided to not go somewhere, you were piking out. I don't know if anyone's ever heard that expression.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, well, maybe it's just an Australian thing, because if you had a group of friends you were going to go out with and you went, no, I'm not going to go, they'd be like, oh, what, you're piking out on us? So it would be that.
It is a thing. It's in the Merriam-Webster dictionary.
Yeah.
Piking out means to leave a place often for another early next morning, and the aloof guest just piked out without saying a word.
There you go. Dun, dun, dun. I actually got something that was interesting on the Big
Bang
Theory.
It's a British slang term.
Sorry. The British
piking is a British slang term from the practice of deriving sexual pleasure from watching strangers have sex in parked cars and other secluded but public places.
Great Britain, I'm looking at you. Are you watching people having sex in cars?
Oh my.
I read. And if so, why haven't I been involved with this? Why hasn't someone invited me to watch people having sex in cars? Kat's got her mouth open to make sure that she can catch all the flies that she can. So we do see on
well, that
this,
explains a lot.
That I like cars.
That you like watching.
No, please. Why would you possibly watch when you can join in? God. So we do see that.
I just went off the rails fast.
Our show always goes off the rails at some point.
I know, which is usually not so soon.
So,
I need my coffee.
Unfortunately, we find that the person that's actually won the bet to take Sheldon to Monrovia happened to be Howard and Bernadette and Raj. And as they're going along, they're driving, you know, before that, everyone leaves the apartment and we go back into Leonard's and Sheldon's apartment. And Amy's...
Leonard's cleaning up and all of a sudden he realizes Amy's still sitting there on the couch.
And he says, well, don't you want to go with Sheldon? And she said, well, no. Model trains and people who play with model trains don't interest me. So
well, no, she says model train stores, the people who sell them and their
sad clientele
do not interest me.
That's right. Yes. So it doesn't interest her to go. So it's like, oh, okay. But he's feeling very awkward, but he's like, okay, well, you can stay as long as you want. She goes, oh,
no,
that's good.
No.
No.
And he's like, oh, okay. And he's like, well, wouldn't you be more comfortable at home? And she's like, no. And it's like, okay. And he's like, well, I have some work to do. And she's like, I don't need the running commentary.
Yeah, I don't think that would interest me. Carry on.
And then later on, he's like, you know, and she's just sitting there staring into space. And he's like, I thought you were reading. And she's like, well, now I'm thinking about what I'm reading. He's like, okay, well, okay. And she's like, you know, have I stayed too long? Sometimes I hear that I've overstayed my welcome and you seem rather uncomfortable. And he's like, no. And she's like, for example, am I gynecologist? and he's like, no, it's okay. Stay as long as you like. And she's like, oh, thank you. Cause I'm having a lovely time. I said that to my gynecologist.
So now we're back into the car, and as we're going along, Sheldon's going to the model train store, as we know, and apparently he's going to see a lecture about the HO gauge railroading, something
half
of which,
the size and twice the fun.
Yeah, which he heartily disapproves about. And of course, I like how Howard says, well, what side do you come down on? And he goes, well, I'm going in with an open mind, but unlike other people that are going there with a closed mind. He goes, oh, well, you know, who am I kidding? It's HO or no HO gauge or no gauge. And I like how Howard says to Sheldon, but it's really strange. A person of his intellect plays with toy trains, but I love how Bernadette comes back and says, well, that's really interesting. That's big talk with a guy that's got
a closet full of magic tricks at his mother's house.
Yeah, and he goes, well, no, it's not magic
tricks.
They're not
tricks,
it's illusions.
They're illusions.
And they're going to be going up in the attic once we're married, so that closet can be used for your clothes. And she's like, oh,
why would I keep clothes at your mother's house?
Yeah. And he goes, well, don't think of it as her house, but think of it as our house. And she's like, oh, is your mother moving out? And he goes, why would she? That's her house. And she's like, hang on a minute.
You think we're going to live with your mother?
Yeah. And this is the very cringeworthy second part of this, because it's like, wow, you really do see that Howard's got this preconceived idea that once they're married, and as he says, you know, it would be great if we move in with Ma, and when we have children, you know, she can be there to babysit. And when she reads the Three Little Pigs, she actually does have hair on her Chinesian chin.
And Bernadette's like, I'm not living with your mother now or ever.
Which is actually foreshadowing for something that actually does happen later on in the series.
Yeah,
we'll
because,
get to that.
You know, and Howard's like, but it's a great house. She's like, yeah, it's a great house, but it's her house.
Yeah, it's not our house.
Yeah.
And I think that this is another one of those giant red flags that Bernadette sees but is unwilling to engage in. I mean, if you really see this red flag, you would sit there and go, there is something inherently wrong with this man. I mean, he is so tied to her apron strings.
It's not even funny.
It is just a very, very uncomfortable situation. So much so that, you know, there's an argument that breaks out, and Bernadette, she says to Raj to take her home. And Howard says to him, no, don't, keep going. We're going to the movies. And she says, no, we're going home. Now, Raj hasn't had any alcohol, so he can't say, you know, stop fighting. But Sheldon actually intervenes and goes,
no, Raj can't say anything, but he gets that look and he's like,
he goes, as if to say, stop fighting. I need to know what's going on. And this is where Sheldon goes, okay, everyone settle down. I'm going to settle the argument. Raj, take me to the train store first.
And I don't care what your people do.
So we go back to the apartment and of course, Leonard has just come out of the shower and Amy is still there. And she's like, you know, do you have a good shower? And he says, yeah. And she goes, wow. She said, and he goes, what are you doing? Reading my yearbook? And he goes, and she says,
she's
yeah.
like, wow, you weren't very well liked in high school, were you?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, and there was something that was written like, I hope you can make friends or something.
I hope you can find a cure for being a dork.
That's
you're
right.
Really good at science. I hope you can find a cure for being a dork.
Being a dork. That's right. And of course, Amy softens the blow, then says that her mother was the only person that signed her yearbook.
And self-respect and a hymen is better than friends and
a social life.
And a social life.
Love Ma.
Love Mom.
And of course, right at that moment, and I think for Leonard, it is a relief that Sheldon comes back from the train store saying that
carrying
he's never,
a very large package.
Very large package. And he comes back saying that he's never going to go back there again due to being convinced to buy an H.
Well, I thought it was supposed to be a lively discussion, and it turns out it was just set up to sell spineless people the
HO gauge railway.
HO gauge.
Yeah, and they said, well, what's in the bag? I don't want to talk about it.
Well, okay. Now,
but it's not a spine.
Now, when Sheldon walked in, he was, you know, and he says, I'm never going back there again. Leonard asked him, rough night, Casey Jones?
Yeah.
In case you don't know, Jones was an American railroad engineer who worked for the Illinois Central Railroad until he was killed in a train collision. But there was also a 50s TV show called Casey Jones in 1957. So he could have been referencing either one of those.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, Sheldon did get converted from O scale to HO scale.
Yep.
And we see him as we go on, get more and more entranced with them. Mm-hmm. These are two. And there are many model train scales. HO is an abbreviation for half O because HO scale is 1/87th actual size, which is about half as big as O scale, which is 1/45th. There is some disagreement among model trail communities about whether the O and HO is a letter or a number because, you know, they have to debate these things.
Well, I mean, I can imagine that's a very lively debate within the train community.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got our PMS family here, and I'm sure that there are some spirited conversations with regards to what's the best number and exactly what's the best episode they've got or what they like better to eat or stuff like that.
We know that 73 is the best number.
73 is always the best number for sure. And the best food is obviously Thai
however
food.
The two of spades is the best playing card.
Yes, it is. So we understand this. So we've got our own lively debate within the family. So I understand the train aficionados have to just, discuss things too. So Amy finally leaves, but not before asking Leonard if he can come to a wedding on Friday. And I think that's actually really nice. But of course, he does say, what about Sheldon? And of course, he comes back with, and she's like,
no. He's like, well, wouldn't you rather take Sheldon? And she's like, no, the last wedding I took him to, he behaved like a child.
And he's like, well, that wasn't my fault. You said that would be other scientists my own age. So it's like, oh, boy, Sheldon. I mean, Amy, do you not see there's a red flag on that one, too?
And I like how she's like, no date to the prom, two dates to a wedding. Boy, my life is good.
And I look at her, Sheldon goes, you've got to go to a wedding. So later that night, we see that Bernadette goes over to Howard's house and apologizes to Howard for their fight in the car. And I like it how Howard, he's understanding. He's like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to start the fight. And she's like, well, it's only because you're bringing up this living with your mother scenario.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't spring it on you.
Yeah, and it really was.
He just thought it was a given and didn't bother to consider the fact that she might not have considered it.
And he even said that. He said, I'm sorry, I didn't run it by you, which means that if I run it by you now, does that mean there's a possibility that it is going to happen? I mean,
And he suggests a trial run of her staying over.
But I do look at Bernadette and think to myself, sweetheart, no, this is not going to work. I mean, in all honesty, if you're working this hard to try and work out this, you're trying to get this to work. I mean, you've got a guy that is so ensconced with his mother. We understand that Howard's father left when he was young and he became his mother's whole world. But man, at some stage, you've got to cut the apron strings. I mean, there has to be that time that you've got to, as they say, fly the nest.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it seems to me that Howard just has, yeah, the preconceived idea that he's going to be going to, you know, they're going to be living with his mother. And look, I understand from a economic point of view, it is a great idea. You know, you're living with the mother.
Yeah, when I mean, it's, have it's children, not you're gonna bad have... in some level of theory, but the way he is with his mother, no, I don't think so.
I mean, it would be a great idea to live with, you know, live with the mother so you can save up some more money. So eventually you can either move out and get your own place, or God forbid, the inevitable happens that she passes away. You've got a nice amount of money that you can use to renovate the property. So there are definitely pros and cons with it. But I mean, I understand where Howard's coming from, but the way that he did it with Bernadette, yeah, he just went about it the wrong way. And this is where she actually sees this. So I like it how Howard says, what about we have a trial run and maybe you stay here a few nights? And he actually asks his mother if it's okay that Bernadette stays this weekend. And of course, his mother says that she's very relieved that after all the sleepovers with the little brown boy, a woman would be a welcoming change to Howard.
Yeah.
So when she's there on that weekend, Howard asks if he and Bernadette can have some privacy, which, of course, Mrs. Wolowitz sees them wanting to have sex. And Bernadette, once again, gets very uncomfortable, which I do understand. You know, you've got that the mother is just going, oh, I know what that means, you know. But Howard assures her that it will be absolutely fine. And as we're going along, you know, we're getting ready for bed, and Bernadette comes from, obviously, trying to go to the bathroom, and Howard is there playing his imaginary, well, he's got a lightsaber, but he's fighting an imaginary, you know, person. And he says, you know, you're ready for bed. And she's like, well, no, I'm trying to get into the bathroom, but your mother's been there for over an hour. And he's like, oh, well, yeah, sometimes she has problems doing her business. And he goes, I'll help. I'll get this all organized.
Give it up, Ma. It's not your night tonight.
And she's like, oh, well, what do you mean? I've just sat down. And then he goes, that's okay. He said, and then of course,
at first she's like, I don't care if she comes in. I'm just sitting here. I'm not ashamed.
Yeah. She goes, you can go in and he goes, you can go and brush your teeth. And she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then you hear that she actually manages to do her business. And I like it how it goes, and we have splashdown. The eagle has landed. And then
that's disgusting.
It is disgusting. So then he says to Bernadette, I'll just, you know, your bathroom is all yours. I'll go and light a candle, obviously, to get rid of the smell. Yeah. And then he looks at Bernadette and then he goes, and then we will make love. And you
passionate
can see
love. And the look of disgust on Bernadette's face.
Oh my
kind of
God.
Kind echoed the one on mine watching that.
And then, of course, we also see within that whole scene that we've got is that when he comes back from the bathroom, he's lit the candle and they start to, you know, Bernadette and him are just kissing. And then we hear that Howard's mother calls out that she wants a foot rub. You know, when you guys are done, I want a foot rub. And it's like, you can see that Bernadette just wants to crawl under the bed and stay under there. She's just, this is just not going to work. Bernadette is just creeped out. And I can understand that as well.
I'm totally with her on that one.
This is a very creepy, you know, a creepy episode, as they say. So at the wedding, Amy's having a wonderful time. You know, she's sitting in her seat and she's, and look, I understand this as well. Like, she's really getting into it. She's having her dinner.
The band is great.
Yeah, the music's, you know, as she says, the band is on fire. But before they get to the wedding, Bernadette is being made up by Penny.
Amy is.
Sorry, Amy is so yeah. So Amy is getting made up by Penny,
and her makeup looks absolutely
really
lovely.
It looks absolutely
beautiful.
The
dress is nice, except for that weird flower thing.
Yeah, and Leonard comes in, and he's got a very nice tuxedo on.
Why he's wearing a bow tie, I don't understand.
Neither do I. Don't understand.
It would look better with a tie.
Yeah, and I like it how she says you look, and you know, Penny says, well, you look like a James Bond. And I like it how...
Okay, because Sheldon has been sitting at the coffee table playing with his new train set.
That's right.
And he's like, I can't believe it, but it's true. The smaller the size, the more fun. And so then he comes in and she says, just like James Bond. And Sheldon pipes up with better than James Bond because he's smaller.
And Amy has got a corsage to Annie. She gets up and she says, "Here, Leonard, I bought a corsage for you to give me." And Amy, and of course, this is where Penny goes, "Well, no, that's really for a prom sort of thing."
And she's like, "Well, I got to go to the prom. My mother hired my cousin to take me, but he just spent the money on drugs."
And of course, then Penny's like, "Put it on her." And he, because Leonard goes, "Amy, this is for you," and starts to attach it to her shirt. And of course, Amy comes back with, "When you finish copping a feel, it goes on my wrist." So I don't know how that Leonard wouldn't know that a corsage goes on a person's wrist, but you know.
Yeah.
But now we're over at the wedding, and of course we do see that they're sitting there, and Amy's getting into it. She's finishing her cake. She's having a wonderful time. And, you know, as we see, is that Leonard is really being a bit of a sad sack.
He's moping.
He's moping.
And it reminds him that his girlfriend is 9,000
miles away, you know. And, of course, I don't know why he's moping about Priya. Priya's nothing. And Amy tells him
she's pretty and she has sex with him.
Yeah, but that was Penny. Penny is pretty, and Penny used to have sex with him too.
Yeah.
Why would it be?
Penny actually cared about him.
Yeah, exactly. Priya doesn't. Yeah. So Amy tells him that she's kind of sort, you know, that her kind of sort of boyfriend Sheldon is back home playing with toy trains. What's your problem? But she isn't complaining about it, and she suggests that they go out on the dance floor because Leonard says, "Oh no, I'm not much of a dancer," and she's like, "Listen, you know, you can either sit here and mope or listen. We've just had a lovely meal. The band is on fire. You're sitting here with a woman with looking the way that I look. Why don't we just go on the dance floor and see what happens?" So they go on the dance floor to do the chicken dance, which is a staple of any wedding. You have to do the chicken dance. That is funny enough, though. We went to my stepson's wedding and they didn't do it.
Well, they're not the cool kids.
They're not cool kids, and we won't go there just in case she ever listens to this podcast.
Listen to this podcast.
Yeah. So back at the Wolowitz house, Bernadette needs to brush her teeth, but of course Mrs. Wolowitz has been in the bathroom for an hour, but we figure out what's happened, you know, because Bernadette is very disgusted about the fact of going into the bathroom while Mrs. Wolowitz is having her ablutions for the evening. But we've already discussed that part of the episode. So now back at after the wedding, Amy is helping Leonard up the apartment stairs because he's like,
"I just don't understand. I put my left foot in, I put my left foot out, I put my left foot in, and something just snapped."
And as she says, "The hokey pokey is a young man's game."
And he's like, "But thank you for breaking off the head of the Swanstadt ice sculpture I can put it against my leg."
Yeah, and she's like, "Well, that's okay." She said, I figured that the graceful neck of the
graceful curve of its neck would cradle your genitals nicely.
And of course, Leonard says, "You know, thank you, Amy. This was really nice. It is okay to have fun."
Thank you for reminding me that it's okay to let go and have fun.
Exactly. And I think that is true, because Leonard has been moping ever since Priya went back to India. So the ability to have fun is not just reserved for that person being alongside of you. If that person's not alongside of you, but you've got the ability and the availability to go out and enjoy yourself, go out and have a great time. You're not deceiving anybody.
No.
You're not being horrible to that person.
They're out as friends.
It's it's there's no, you know, idea that there's going to be anything between Amy and Leonard.
No.
So, of course, Leonard then kisses Amy on the cheek, which is a very friendly gesture, which causes her to rush over to Penny's place. And of course,
as soon as he goes in the door, it closes the door into his apartment, off she runs to Penny's.
Yep. And Penny says, "Oh, you're back from the wedding. How was it?" She goes, "It was good until I got Leonard to fall in love with me." And Penny goes, "Come in, we got to talk." And
so what happened?
And we find out that she's, you know, Amy's got this whole thing in her mind, like because the way that she looks and her damn pelvis. That was what made him fall in love with her. And she's like, "No, I don't think that's it." And she goes, "Listen, did Leonard make a move on you?" And she said, "No, not at all. But, you know, because of this damn pelvis and the way that I look with this whorish makeup, you know, it was just inevitable that he was eventually going to fall in love with me."
Mm-hmm.
And Penny says, "Would you like me to go and talk to him?" And she says, "No,
I'll let him have tonight."
Yes. "Then I will send him a strongly worded email to say that this body will never be his wonderland. She says, as much as I'd love it that maybe you and I would be defiled by the same man, Leonard just doesn't get my motor running.
You got to wonder how either of them kept a straight face.
Oh, my God. It's just, and as, and I love it how Amy, and this is the one of the other creepy parts that Amy says, you know, quite frankly, Penny, you've got a better shot at me than he does. And it's like, and you see Penny go, oh, no, thank you.
Thank you, but you don't get my motor running.
No, that's, I don't know why they were ever writing Amy that creepy with regards to.
I mean, not that being gay is creepy.
It's not creepy.
It's just if they're trying, you know, but yeah.
Penny's not that way inclined.
It just wasn't appropriate.
And the thing is,
it wasn't necessary.
And I don't think that Gilda, when you look at episode zero, I don't think Gilda, and I think, and we discussed this on Courtney's episode, Gilda was never written as gay.
Yeah.
She was very much
bisexual.
Yeah, she was very much in tune with wanting to be with Leonard.
Yeah.
So I don't know why
even
they had...
she hooked up with Sheldon once at a Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Because he embraced he embodied the Vulcan Ponfar. In the throes of Ponfar so beautifully that I just couldn't resist it.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, yeah, no.
So after Sheldon tells Leonard that he had a great train night and ask him how his night was, Leonard says that he had a great night with Amy, even though his groin hurts as a result. And I love it.
And Sheldon karate chops him on the shoulder.
I know. And then Leonard's like, what was that for? And
the only like, time I've ever seen Sheldon get violent.
I know. And he goes, she is not for you. Not for you. It's like, what the hell?
Hey, wait a second. Is Amy his girlfriend yet, or is she still just a friend girl?
A girl who is his friend, but not his girlfriend.
Not yet.
Not yet.
So that's very telling.
Yeah, that he is that protective of Amy, but they haven't made it official yet.
Yeah. Ooh.
But you can see that Sheldon has already got feelings for Amy.
Uh-huh.
He just hasn't said it. But
he
yeah,
just
as
hasn't
he said,
admitted them yet.
No, but as he said, you know, Leonard said, oh, that's your girlfriend. No, Leonard, she is a girl that is my friend, but not my girlfriend.
Friend.
Yeah, so.
I'm your girlfriend.
Yeah, I know you are. and I'll never stop dating my girlfriend.
Are you my boyfriend?
Yes, I am. I'm your boyfriend.
Oh, good.
Yes. So meanwhile, back at the Wallowitz house in the morning, Bernadette comes in with breakfast in bed.
On a tray, which is all, you know, it looks
got
absolutely
pancakes,
beautiful.
It's got orange juice.
And walks in and says, good morning handsome. And he's like, morning, mom.
And she's like, seriously? And of course, then he looks and she's like, no, it's me. And he goes, of course it is. And you look so beautiful in the morning. What's this? And she said, oh, well, you know, your mother and I made you breakfast in bed. And
he's like, oh, so you guys are getting along.
And she's like, yeah, we are, but we're very different people, Howard. And
the communication is challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. But of course, when Mrs. Wallowitz asked Bernadette if Howard likes the pancakes, she screams out in a voice that's strikingly similar to Mrs. Wallowitz that he hasn't tried them yet. And Howard, of course, then asks if there's any butter with the pancakes. And Bernadette says that there is butter-flavored maple syrup. And Mrs. Wallowitz calls out again to see if Howard wants butter. And that's right. She says, about the butter-flavored maple syrup. And she said, he wants butter. And she said, well, it's butter-flavored maple syrup.
I just told him that.
And, of course, then Bernadette screams back out that, you know, that he wants butter. And she says about the butter-flavored maple syrup. But, of course, then Howard then says, okay. And she says, listen, you want butter?
I'll get you butter.
And she walks out, and Howard is looking there. And this is another cringeworthy part of it, because Howard looks and goes, oh. So I guess I'll just cut these up myself. It's like, oh,
because the night before, after dinner, when they're getting ready for bed, she's like, does your mother always cut up your meat like that? And he's like, well, only when it's fatty.
I know. And as he says, it's okay, sweetheart. When we're married, you get to cut up my meat. Oh, God. Bernadette, how could you not see this?
Oh, she does. But it's like, how can you put up with it?
Oh, God. Bernadette, I don't know how you do it. The screen goes black, and that is the end of this episode. But
thank
I'm telling
God.
You, it is just so cringeworthy.
Yeah, there were so many just moments.
I don't know how you just couldn't see the writing on the wall, Bernadette. I mean, I understand you're in love, but sweetheart, there are other fish in the sea. You can actually go fishing.
Yeah.
It's, you don't have to stick with Howard. I like Howard, but I'm telling you, he really needs to man up.
Well, she does whip him into shape eventually.
Yeah, the wrong way, though. She becomes the mega bitch.
Yeah.
But this week's episode question is going to be, have you ever pulled a muscle? God, we all, I think we all have.
I think we all have at some stage.
And I have, and they hoit.
Yes,
they do. Yeah, so you can email us, perpetualmotionsquad00@gmail.com with the answer, or it'll be up on Spotify. But remember, that email address is open 24/7. So if you are scrolling through Facebook and see a great picture of a cat or a dog, and you think we'd like it, email it to us. Or if you've got a picture of your own cat or dog.
Oh, we'd love to see your pets.
We'd love to see your pets. Or if you've got a recipe that you actually enjoy cooking and you think that maybe cat would like to do it, by all means, send it to us. And if you want a copy.
And that Paul would like to eat it.
And I'd like to eat it, definitely. Because I'm the taste tester of the family.
Yes, he is.
And if
the dog would like to be.
Yes. And if you would like a copy of Cat's cookbook, you can email us at perpetualmotionsquad00@gmail.com and she can send one out to you. And also, before I wrap up this podcast, we also have a sister podcast, which is the Home Class Movie Chat. And that is a podcast where Cat and I sit and talk about all genres of movies. So if you just cannot get enough of Cat and I talking and you really love this show and you want to,
you know, you love us.
You love us. And if you really love the show and you want to support us, by all means, please, we are putting out a call. Please come over to the Home Class Movie Chat. We've got great movies that we're reviewing, and we do it every week. It usually drops on a Monday. And look, we would really love it if you guys would come over and also support the Home Class Movie Chat. I know
it's basically like hanging out in the car on the way home and discussing the movie.
Yeah, look, and I know that there are thousands upon thousands of movie-related podcasts out there. You cannot throw, you know, a dead duck at something without actually hitting a movie podcast. There are so many movie podcasts out there, but we would really love it if you got a chance to support our podcast, the Home Class Movie Chat,
yep.
And come over and listen to us.
If you haven't done already, please leave us a like and a review wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yep.
And if you enjoy this and know other people who would like Big Bang Theory as much as you do, please invite them to join the conversation.
Because we always love getting extra family members.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Okay. So for those following along at home, we had only one Thai takeout today.
Mm-hmm.
And Crazy Credits, Chuck Lorre Productions number 353. I have long believed that we as human beings are genetically inclined to elevate and worship those of us we deem to be beautiful or talented. We do this because we are somehow comforted by our adoration. It makes us feel good. As children, we sleep beneath the images of movie, TV, music, and sports stars and dream about the mystery and grandeur of their lives. As adults, the posters come off the wall only to be replaced by a steady, noxious stream of tabloid culture. But perhaps most enjoyable of all is watching the fall from grace. Nothing beats a good old public crucifixion, especially when it's self-inflicted. My theory for this is that my theory for why this is considered entertainment is, again, a genetic one. DNA, even if it's mediocre, wants to ensure its own survival. The existence of superior DNA is viewed as a threat. When beautiful and talented people screw up, we can't help but feel that this is somehow improves our chances for our mediocre descendants to eat more meat. In other words, evolution my ass.
And I was actually going to go with a point. The meal that Amy and Leonard shared at the wedding, is that considered food?
No, obviously because they didn't pay for it.
They didn't pay for it, so it's only food.
Neither is when Howard's mother cooks for them. Because the idea is to figure out how much they may have spent, each person would have spent over the course of the series.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's understandable. I just thought I'd mention it. So, yes, so remember, this week's question is, have you ever pulled a muscle? And as I said, I'm sure we all have, and it hurts quite a lot. I have done that many times, and it's not fun. So,
nope.
But yes, email us, perpetualmotionsquad00@gmail.com.
And we will see you next time for Season 5, Episode 4, The Wiggly Finger Catalyst.
Yes, we know that one.
And until then, we'll catch up with you at the Cheesecake Factory.
Bye, everyone.
You all right, Leonard? You seem very uncomfortable.
I'm fine.
Should I go? I've been told sometimes I overstay my welcome.
What? Who told you that?
Well, most recently my gynecologist.
Now you stay as long as you'd like.
I'm glad to hear you say that because I'm having a wonderful time. I said the same thing to my gynecologist.
Music and mythology, Einstein and astrology, it all started with a little.